Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're on the Harmony Street Show, and I have as my special guest my good, good friend, Mr. Jay Siegel, the lead singer of The Tokens. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing okay, Mike, and hello to everybody out there that's listening. Nice to talk to everybody.
That's really good. Now, I understand you're on your way to a show right now, which is, you have to catch Jay on the run because he's always running and he's always gigging.
Well, you know, fortunately, we are working a lot. I'm in the middle of a 12-day tour all through the state of Florida right now. So, we've been busy. We've been working a lot. And, I guess as long as I can still hit those high notes, I'll still be out there. And I'm still having a lot of fun doing it.
So, Jay, it all started around 1955 with the Linktones, right? And you actually went to Lincoln High School, as I understand.
Well, that's how we got the name of the group, the Linktones. Yeah, I was, maybe more towards 56 when Neil Sedaka, my neighbor where I guess I lived about three blocks away from him, he asked me to come over to his house and try out to be in his singing group, and I went over there and I sang a few songs and they made the cut, and that's how the Tokens were born in Lincoln High School in Brooklyn. But like you said, it was Lincoln High School and we were originally called the Linktones, but then later on we became the Tokens.
Right. Now, I've played Picture in My Wallet by Daryl and the Oxfords, and
you really did your homework, I can see.
People that are Token aficionados know that tune, but see, the general public doesn't know about that particular tune, but it still has Jay Siegel's wonderful falsetto, and you can tell that it's Jay because it's an early Jay tune.
Picture in
somebody will yell out Picture in My Wallet, and I'll say, where did you live, and how old are you, that kind of a thing. But that was a good record. You know, it was a regional hit. We had the opportunity to be on Allen Street's Big Beat television show.
Wow.
So, that was an exciting time.
Yeah, but that was everybody's dream at that point, to be able to just, so many people had groups. I had a group, and I was on Long Island, and we recorded for Relic Records and whatever. But then again, of course, we looked up to the guys that all of a sudden – we're able to go forward and do American Bandstand and be hooked up with, you know, and be at the Brooklyn Fox with Murray. Of course, I used to sit in the front row and I used to see the movie, the show, the movie, the show, the movie, the show. And in those days,
stayed five shows.
Right.
Five movies. We, you know, we did all those shows. We did Bandstand quite a few times. Actually, we did it when it changed to, you know, where the action is out in California. So, we were fortunate enough to be a part of all those, you know, local and American Bandstand TV shows and all those big live shows.
Yeah.
You know, especially the Brooklyn Paramount and the Brooklyn Fox. Those were very, very exciting.
And the funny thing about those places in those days was that everybody in the first 15 rows smoked. Because everybody smoked in the theater. Right on one of Murray the K's albums that he has, that's a classic album, you look and it has a picture of the audience, and I think almost every other person has a cigarette in his hand. In those days, that's what they did.
I don't remember that at all. I remember that you were allowed to smoke in the back of an airplane.
Yeah.
But smoke in the front. Well, I don't remember smoking in the theater. Went back to something. Wow. I don't remember. That must have been terrific for the performers on stage.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, because, you know, I can't sing with smoke in the room. So,
neither can I.
American Bandstand must have been, you know, a wonderful experience. Tell me about Dick Clark. How was your relationship with...
You know, actually, we were more excited to see the dancers on the show than to meet Dick Clark.
No kidding. Well, that makes sense, too, because they were famous, those dancers.
To us, they were just as famous as the recording artists. I mean, we all knew Tex and Janet and Kenny and Arlene and Justine. And when we saw them in person, I remember how nervous that we all were, you know, the first time we were on Bandstand. Uh-huh. And that Dick Clark was extremely nice to us. And
very cool.
It was, you know, of course, in those days, everything was lip sync. You know, there was no live performances. I guess most people would realize that.
Right.
And the thing that made us nervous is that, you know, when we did the Lion Sleep Tonight, it had no count off, and there was a band at the beginning. It just started with my vocal. So I either looked down or turned around or did something, or I had to wait for the record to start so I can start looking like I was singing it.
Stand there with your mouth open until the record starts playing.
Exactly. Or turn around and face, or not face the camera.
That's really, really funny. Well, you know, I'm one of the few people that actually saw the group on Musical Chairs with Adam Wade, because I go back that far and I remember the group being on that show. How do you like that?
We did that for about 6 months. It was on a network, CBS.
I remember.
Every single day, and we were on with some great artists. I remember being on with the Spinners and, you know, some big... big deal cabaret singers, but was a part of a Don Kirshner production, and you know, he's the one who, of course, had the rock concert on TV in the 70s, and I was an in-house producer.
Wow.
For Don Kirshner, and that's how we got the gig, you know, being regulars on Musical Chairs. Adam Wade was an extremely nice guy, and he had a terrific voice. He was a good singer as well.
Well, you know, Don Kirshner, I see him at Starbucks all the time. He lives right near me at Polo Club, and he says to me all the time, you know, I need to get back into the music business. And I say to him, you were the music business.
You mentioned the Polo Club, because we just did the Polo Club last week.
Oh, great.
And Don and his wife Sheila both came to the show, because I was very involved with Donnie Kirshner for 6 years in the late 70s. I was a music coordinator on the rock concert show, and I was in-house TV music producer. And one of the guys I worked with was Paul Schaefer, probably every day, before he became the Paul Schaefer from David Letterman.
Right. Well, I know he did a lot of studio work for a long time, you know, as did...
I used him as an arranger when I was producing records, as a keyboard player, extremely, extremely talented and nice person.
Wow, unbelievable. You know, it's funny, because in New York City there was a very small nucleus. I had the pleasure of being like a fly on the wall for a lot of big sessions, and I hung around Media Sound and Secret Sound and Soundworks.
Yeah, we worked a lot in Media Sound.
Yeah.
It used to be an old church.
That's right, John and Joel. And, you know, I did some projects in there, too. As a matter of fact, my cousin is Gary Katz, of course, who...
He used to be Gary Katz. He was Gary Katz, then he became Gary Cannon.
Right. Gary Katz. Skinny Gary.
I know Gary, yeah. He's still skinny. I saw him, in an airport someplace about a year ago, and hey, he made some good Steely Dan records.
Oh, yeah, you know, because, you know, the funny story is, well, you know, Becker and Fagan, you know, such talented guys, well, but they came... pretty much from the Jane the American situation, which is, as I say, all connected, you know, as you know. Of course, you're working with Jay Traynor, who worked with the Mystics, you know, and also was Jay from Jane the Americans.
Yeah, Jay Traynor's been with us a little over 4 years now, and what he does, She Crying in our show, the audience just love it.
Well, we've done shows together, and you know when Jay sings that song, I cry, because I think that was one of the best tunes they ever did. Matter of fact, I met Jay years ago, actually at a mutual friend's house. His name was Gino Moretti. He was a producer from MGM Records, and he had a subsidiary label. And Jay had written a tune called "Looking Out My Window," and I had a group at that time. It was an a cappella group called the Islanders. He wanted us to record it. And then years later, I was on Rick McCaffrey and Gary Lee Schwartz's show, you know, in Poughkeepsie.
Gary Lee, yeah.
Yeah. So I was on with Jay, and I said to Jay, "Do you remember the tune 'Looking Out My Window'?" And he said, "No, I don't believe I ever heard it." So I started singing it, and I sang the first verse, and then he sang the second verse, and he said, "Oh, yeah, I guess I did write that. I remember it now."
Yeah.
But it was like 30 years ago, you know.
I'm going to teach Jay in a little while. I'll remind him of that.
Unbelievable. So Tonight I Fell in Love was the first one that I remember buying in the store, and what a great record that was.
that was the first song that we all wrote together. You know, the Tokens, when Neil split and we formed the new group, that's the first song that we wrote, and it became a top 10 national record. And in the New York area, I remember they had their own charts. Every city was a number one record. So that's the record that started it off for us. You know, as a national act.
And then The Lion Sleeps Tonight, I mean, what can you say about that? It actually has a life of its own. I know, you know, I sang with Georgie Galfo for a bunch of years with his version of The Mystics, and he whispered in my ear one time, he said, you know, we actually did record a demo of a Weemawa, and it just stayed on the shelf, he said, and then all of a sudden, The Lion Sleeps Tonight, and The Lion Sleeps Tonight took over the world, because you cannot go anywhere in this country or outside of this country and not hear that tune. You can't go a week without hearing that tune.
No, I know you can't go a day, probably.
Right.
When that record came out, it took about 4 weeks for it to become number one in the United States, and it stayed on the charts for about 3 months, and then it became a number one record in 36 countries all over the world. So we were one of the first groups to tour, all over the world. And
right.
In fact, we were in, we did two concerts in Germany last year.
Right.
Two sold out shows in the Porsche Arena, 8,000 people, and I would say 90% of the audience did not speak English.
Wow.
But when we went into the Lion Sleeps Tonight, every one of them sang along, sang every word. So
unbelievable.
Overwhelming. It's, of course, when The Lion King came out again, RCA re-released the record,
right.
And it became a top 20 international hit for the second time in a row. So, I mean, every kid from 3 years old to 93 years old, I don't think there's anyone in the world who doesn't know that record of ours.
Well, it's so universal, I mean, and it is a standard. I mean, and it has all the makings of a standard. And it's your arranging, actually, that actually made that song come alive. Because I think the Weavers did it years ago, if I'm not too mistaken.
We did it in the 50s, and yeah,
right.
But it was just Weemawa. But when we took it, you know, I changed the melody.
Right.
The lyric was written by our producers at RCA, so
right.
I had to change the melody completely, to fit the lyric, and I guess it worked.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the quiet jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. Near the village, the peaceful village, the lion sleeps tonight. Near the village, the quiet village, the lion sleeps tonight.
Well, there's two things that you do in your show that I love, because not only have I seen your show from the audience, but I've seen it from backstage, and you know, I've gone on before you in a few different groups, and that is that Jay Siegel still sings that tune in the original key, and I think it's the key of F.
Yeah, that's right. We do it in the original key. Actually, every record that we sing on stage that we recorded, Tonight I Fell in Love, Torture of My Love, I do them all in the original key that the records were in.
Which is great. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I've been to sound checks with you, and I know how meticulous you are about having every stop and every cut, you know, exactly the way it's supposed to be, so that the people get every bit of what they paid for on that stage, and you want them to hear it exactly the way it's supposed to be.
You're absolutely right. Every show that I do, to me, I treat it like it's the first one, and it's not just another gig. It's just as important to me as the last show, and I just want to do the best job we can, and I guess that's why we're still out there doing a lot of stuff all over the country, because we really care. You know, we want that audience to come out of that show happy and satisfied.
Well, you have somebody with you that I really respect, and I know that when Carl comes down to do a show with you, he really is pretty much of a genius in getting that band to wake up, because I've worked with so many different bands, you know, and so have you, and one is really not better than the next. There are some good ones and not such good ones, but I know Carl gets in there.
That's so good. Carl is our musical director.
Absolutely.
And he also is a musical director for Shirley Alston from the Shirelles, and
right.
He's extremely talented. He plays every instrument, so if we have a weak drummer or a weak guitar player or a weak bass player, he'll step in and do that part. But yeah, he whips that band together and then gets it just the way I want it. Absolutely.
I know, and you know what? People walk out of there saying, oh my goodness, they're such a cut above the rest of the groups, because everything sounds exactly the way it did on the record. I want to talk a little bit, too, about the production of the Tokens and Jay Siegel and the Tokens. I don't know that everyone is aware of how many groups you've produced. The list is endless. Chiffons, Randy and the Rainbows, Tony Orlando, The Happenings.
Yeah, well, okay, that's right. You know, we had Tonight I Fell in Love, and, the four kids that were still going to college, actually, we noticed that when we listened to the radio, we would hear a record by a group or a single artist and never hear from them again.
Right.
But we all looked at each other and saying, you know, okay, what's the longevity of the Tokens? We don't know. You know, how long could this last? So we got down and learned about the producing records. We were one of the first acts to start our own record company, publishing company, and that's how we got involved in production. You know, we opened up a little office in New York City, and we used to audition. You know, new singing groups or songwriters used to come up, and we thought anybody would have any kind of potential, we'd bring them into the studio. And I guess the first record that we produced that went to number one was He So Fine by the Chiffons, and
wow.
In the history books that we're the first vocal group to ever produce a number one record for another vocal group.
Right.
So that's what started it off, the He's So Fine record by the Chiffons, in which, in fact, 10 record companies turned down before Laurie Records, picked it up. And funny, the guy who was the promotion man at Laurie Records, he said, "Don't let these kids out of the office. We want that record." His name was Doug Morris.
Right, right.
Morris is now the the chairman of Universal Music. So he became promotion man to one of the biggest executives in the music industry.
That's amazing. Because I had Randy Cefuto. We talked with Randy a couple of weeks ago, and Randy, of course, gave you full credit for having been so instrumental in producing Randy and the Rainbows.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this, but we were also the band on the record. You know, we played most of the instruments on the records that we produced, so we were really a self-contained little unit there. So
that's amazing.
We didn't have to get a band. All we had to do was get a recording studio. We were the band. We got the artists, that was one of the terrific records we produced. And Randy's a terrific singer. You know, he had that great falsetto
voice. Oh yeah. I also heard, and you can verify this, that when Tony Orlando picked the name for his lovely women that sang behind him, that they picked Dawn because that was the name of your daughter. Is that a true statement?
Yeah. Actually, he didn't pick it. We picked it.
No kidding.
No, he didn't. Actually, when we recorded Candida, you know, Tony had a real day job. He worked
right.
at a publishing company for CBS Records, and uh-huh. he didn't want it known that he was moonlighting, making records. So
unbelievable.
We didn't. The Candida, you know, that record, that there was no group. It was myself and the writer of the record, Tony Wine, and another girl. We were the background singers. There was no group Dawn. We were the background singers on Candida, Not Three Times, and
unbelievable
first album. And yeah, we were thinking of a name for the group because Tony didn't want to use his name, and my daughter's name is Dawn.
Wow.
And we said, well, that would make a little, you know, that could make an interesting album cover. Making happens, you know, and that's how it became.
Well, the other thing that I wanted to mention was that talking about production, how many commercials the Tokens were involved in, and if you listen very closely, you can actually decipher the fact that it is the Tokens in a lot of these commercials.
I think, we got involved in writing jingles. The first one we wrote and recorded was for Dentine Chewing Gum. I remember we were one of the only acts or groups that really got involved in producing, writing, and performing TV and radio jingles. We were very much involved in that. In fact, 1 year we had about 30 running on radio and television.
That's amazing.
Everything from airlines to deodorants to toothpaste to beer. every product there was.
Take part, grow, enjoy yourself
at your public library.
Educational, informational, entertainment that's sensational. It's a way of life, it's for you and me. It's the latest, it's the greatest, it's the library. It's the latest, it's the greatest, it's the library.
Here are the tokens for University Sealed Clothes.
Hey, university man, hey, university man, you're gonna flip for the clothes with the style that fits. The bait is university seal, yeah, university seal for a real man.
If they wanted somebody to sound like the Beach Boys, or they wanted somebody to sound like an East Coast group or a Southern group, we were able to, be that kind of, have that kind of diversity that we could sound a lot of different ways.
Well, it shows a lot of depth, but it also shows a lot of orchestrating ability and arranging ability. And, one of the commercials was a Wendy's commercial, I understand.
Wendy. Yeah, it was. We did it to the song Only You.
Uh-huh.
The old Platter song, and we just did, the commercial was only Wendy's, but So if anybody remembers that, that was me.
Yeah, well, once in a while I would take my Mercedes down to Pompano Auto House in Pompano in Florida, and I would sit there, and Dave Thomas would be sitting there, and he would tell us stories about how he would go into Wendy's And he would talk to some of the workers, and they wouldn't know who he was. And he'd say, "Do you know who I am?" And they'd say, "No." And he'd say, "I'm Wendy." And they would look at him, and they go, "Yeah, right, man." You know. And he said, nobody knew who he was until he did a few commercials. It was interesting.
Well, sure, yeah. Then he was on TV all the time, sure, doing his commercials.
You know,
absolutely, just like the Purdue guys, and everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing that not too many people know is that the Tokens are the only group ever to have performed the national anthem in every major ballpark, including the Canadian parks.
Yeah, that was orchestrated by two of the original members, Phil and Mitch Margot,
right,
out in California,
right.
And I joined them on a couple of those performances. Proudly enough to say, did it in Shea Stadium and Yankee Stadium.
Wow,
that was pretty awesome. That
you know,
was pretty awesome.
I had the honor of doing the national anthem actually at Yankee Stadium and Shea Stadium, and it was actually, believe it or not, Johnny Maestro who told me when Harmony Street had that shot. Do not listen to the monitors that are on the field. Listen to your lifetime monitor in front of you, because we did a 25-minute show in the anthem. He said, once you listen to the echo behind you, you're lost and you'll never recover. Listen to that monitor in front of you. And he was right. John was right.
A 2 or 3 second slapback, and you—if you listen to that—you'll never catch up with yourself. So
no.
it's not an easy. It looks easy, but of course, it's not an easy thing to do.
You know, I also, you know, having mentioned Johnny, I just want to say that, you know, John, it's a tremendous loss. Rest in peace, Johnny. Because anyone who knew him knew how warm and how loving he was and what a gentle soul he was. So, I mean, it's a tremendous loss, and we can talk about that at another time. But I just wanted to mention that, and I know how close you were to him.
I know of him many, many years, and he was a fantastic talent. Everybody knows that, but, you know, a lot of people don't know what a good person he was, and just like he was a real gentleman.
No, I know. I mean, the first time I worked with him, I think, was 1963, and probably at the World in Roosevelt Field when Clay Cole had the place on Long Island, that huge place. So rest in peace, John.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, now getting back to Jay Siegel and the Tokens, I remember we did a show once, Harmony Street, and it was a very big show. I think Lou Christie was on the show, Bobby Jay was the MC, and it was at Queens College, and I think your son was with you at that time.
Oh, my son, he probably was. You know what? My son was my musical director for about 5 years, all through his college years.
Right.
He would go on the road with me every weekend. He's a tremendous keyboard player, and he would lead the band, and he would do some vocal backgrounds as well. And now I still live in New York, and he lives out in California.
Right.
And when we do work out on the West Coast or near the West Coast, I still hire him. You know.
Which is great.
Too much money, so I don't know.
He charges you too much money. It doesn't work for scale. Well, I know because a few years in a row, I would turn around at the NIAC Fair and turn around and say, oh, it's Jay, because, you know, that was a great place to be. But I met you there a few times over the years just for
Yeah, not too far from, I guess it was about maybe 10 minutes from where I live up in Rockland County. Yeah, we do that every year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, the Tokens are a member of the Vocal Group Hall of Fame. And, you know, just listening to all the cover tunes and the original tunes that the Tokens have been involved with, as I continue to look and search the depths of the tunes that all of you have recorded, it's amazing to me how many of the standard covers that the Tokens did that just keep appearing and appearing and appearing, and I play a lot of them on the show. I mean, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I love you so. crack, just like.
Well, you know, I guess when you record that, those many tunes, you say to yourself, oh my goodness, did we record that?
There are diamonds and pearls, emeralds and rings. None of these jewels show me a thing. I want only, only, only. I want your love. Whoop, 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 whoop,
wondering too, there, you know how groups, you know, they have these demo tapes and they have these rehearsal tapes and whatever, you know, I'm sure there are endless tapes and cassette tapes from years ago that people haven't even heard. I'm sure that stuff is around too.
Oh yeah, there are people that used to, you know, probably take stuff from our office, and all of a sudden it shows up on some kind of compilation album. It's the same thing with DVDs. I know there are DVDs floating around in Europe that people have, you know, videotaped shows that we've done in the United States, and I'm hearing about the people who, and you know, I get emails from Germany, Belgium,
wow,
in Singapore. That, oh, you know, we saw you on this one and that one. I said, oh. No kidding. I never knew that was even released. Of course, it's released under the table, and we never see anything from it. But that's been going on for a lot of years.
Well, I know that knowing you the way I know you, that you're going to go on and you're going to continue to do this until either you say I can't do it anymore, or whether somebody says to you, you know, Jay, That's it. I think you better sit down and relax now, because I know the Tokens are still going strong. How many shows a year are you doing now, Jay? I mean, you're still working very hard.
We got about, we do about, sometimes about 80 dates a year if we want to. You know, we're out there all over the country and out of the country as well. So, as time goes on, and we thought that it would become less and less, but it hasn't for us. It just it's really sustained. In some years, it's been more busier than others. So I'm not complaining. You know, as long as I still have the energy and I can still sing the high notes,
right,
I'll be out there doing it.
Well, as everybody knows, that Jay Siegel has the best falsetto in the doo-wop genre, bar none, because, I've been there and I've heard it and I've seen it, and that's my feeling, and that's the feeling of a lot of other people.
From a little family and the richest passers-by, no red carpet on the floor, nothing fancy I can show. But when we all stand together, I hear trumpets blow.
Ba 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 ba. she loves me. She is kind and understanding, filled with personality. And the people closest to me all respect and love her so. When I see how much they take to her, I hear trumpets blow. Oh, it really does amaze me all the happiness I feel. And with every passing day I find I can't believe it's real. So I pray that it all lasts at least 100 years or so. And I know it's not impossible when I hear trumpets blow.
Thank you.
The lineup of the Tokens right now is, of course, Billy Reid.
And Jay Traynor has been with us for about 4 years now, the original Jay of Jay and the Americans.
Right.
It's a good lineup. We have a lot of fun on stage together. People always tell us that, wow, you know, you guys looking like you're having such a good time. And we do. We enjoy doing it, and we enjoy each other. So hopefully, you know, it'll continue, and we'll still be having fun and making people happy.
Yeah, and you guys kid around with each other up there, and it's just a great act. And I the one thing that you do that I always love, and it makes me smile, you invite the audience to come in and sing the background to The Lion Sleeps Tonight, and then you say to them very wholeheartedly, now you can go home and tell everybody that you once sang with the Tokens. And I think that's a great line.
And they wouldn't be lying.
that's true.
We like to get the people in the audience to be part of the show. So yeah, it just makes them feel like, oh, you know, we're really approachable, and we're just we have different jobs than they do. Our job is to sing these songs and to make them feel happy.
Right.
So it's a great job.
Yeah.
Well, everybody that knows you as a sweetheart and a really hard worker. And, you know, I'm so glad to consider myself your friend and have worked on the same stage with you. It's a wonderful thing. And I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time out to spend a little time with us. And thank you so much, Jay. It's just been
my
pleasure to talk to you.
Mike. And, you know, I hope to see, you know, all these people that are listening to the, you know, to your show, to come out to see us. You know, we'll all have a good time.
Absolutely. And I'll definitely see you soon.
Okay, Mike.
Thanks, Jay.
Take care now.
Okay.
All right. Okay, man.
All right.
I'm running now. Okay, Mike.
Okay, bye, Jay.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. My guest, Jay Siegel from the Tokens on Harmony Street. Good night. Have a great week. Rest in peace, Johnny Maestro. We love you dearly.
Open up your heart, recall how it used to be, remember all the love we found, ooh,
on Harmony Street, ooh, there was a place
we used to go,
ooh, when we were feeling down,
and we were alone.
We couldn't believe our eyes
when
we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find
we really cared?
We looked into each other's hearts. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. We couldn't believe our eyes
when we were there.
Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's eyes.
Street.